Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Vinson.
I'm Paul Schultz.
And nothing you're about to hear is true. Imagine for a second that there is a person who you know of, who maybe you have a relationship with, but in the last few years, their career has taken off to the point where they are mingling with celebrities. Celebrities are requesting to spend time with them. All right. People are reaching out to them saying they're getting tickets to exclusive shows and getting invited backstage by the celebrity because the celebrity wants to meet them because they admire them so much. And you really want to talk to that person. Imagine that person. You got a mental image of that person in your head. Well, for us, that's Tony Isabella.
That's right.
Okay. Creator of Black Lightning, as longtime listeners of this show know. And also creator of lots of other things, too.
Yes.
And all-around great guy.
Yeah.
We got the chance to talk to him tonight at the Hall of Heroes over in Elkhart, Indiana, just about 2 hours ago.
Yeah.
And I believe he would have talked to us for longer.
Yeah.
But I was starting to feel bad about monopolizing his time.
Yeah, taking him away from his table almost.
Yeah, he had a table over at the comic convention over in Elkhart. And so we sat there at his table with this little Zoom recorder and just chatted with him. I realized that on the trip over, and you tell me, but on the trip over, I was saying, I kind of feel like I'm not going to have to really come up with a lot of questions because I think he's probably done this a few 100,000 times in the past few years.
Yeah, a couple.
But it turned out I was right. And yeah. At the same time, I think I've listened to enough podcasts now that I knew the types of questions to ask to help him continue.
Yeah.
Because really what I've heard a lot, what I really enjoy in podcast interviews is where the interviewer doesn't just start with the famous thing that they're doing now.
Yeah.
Let's talk all about the famous thing you're doing now. I like it when they ask about their origin story.
Yeah.
You know? And so we got into his origin story. You know, how did he first get it? So we covered Tony Isabella today from when he was 4 years old.
Yeah.
4 years old.
He's 4 years old.
To present day and future.
Yeah, and future.
So we covered not only 63 years of his life, but I think another 10 or 20 or 30 or whatever. So I'm stoked.
Yeah.
I thought it went great. And I think you guys are going to love hearing this interview.
It was it was a lot of fun because like on the way over there, we were like, working real hard trying to put a plan together, and lo and behold, we didn't really need one. And I'd warned him ahead of time. I'm like, now we do casual interviews. We might not even stay on point.
Right.
But, you know, consummate professional. He kept us on point.
He kept us on point. You know, the interesting thing is I was telling Constance this. I don't think you, by the way, Constance is here. You may have seen her walk by a couple
times.
She's
over there.
Say hi, Constance.
Hi.
She hasn't been around us.
Oh, hi, Constance.
There you go. Thank you. Also, we have a new member of the inner circle.
Entourage.
Her name is Tammy. Say hi, Tammy.
Hi, Tammy.
There you go. But I was telling Constance shortly after the interview, and you guys will probably hear this because Paul rarely fixes this kind of thing in post. But I think the flow was going brilliantly. We like did the origin story. Then we got kind of serious about his views on social justice and we get it, buddy. We get it. That's trigger words for you. That's okay.
We love you.
That's okay. We love you. And we'll have you on the show. You can give your side of the story. Ooh, I like that idea.
Help us to help you.
We shall
help
do
us.
That.
Yeah. He told me one time that he's more of a face-to-face guy.
Which would be perfect.
So, right. So when we schedule one of these, again, I will definitely... We you know what we'll do? We'll shame him into coming on the show.
Well, I 100% guarantee it will not be confrontational.
At least
I won't be confrontational.
It's You know what's going to happen? We're going to turn into three high school kids again.
Exactly. Anyway, so
just beyond less
that,
hair.
So we were kind of getting in, and when I say social justice, that kind of is a overdone phrase. So I'll try a different phrase. You know, he seems to, at least the TV series, and it sounds like the comic book did as well in the 70s and stuff, really captured the zeitgeist when it comes to topics of the day.
Yeah.
Right?
Socially conscious.
Socially conscious. Thank you. Socially aware, socially conscious.
Mm-hmm.
So we got into that. It was getting really serious. And then we started talking about Sharknado.
Yeah.
And how he predicted Sharknado would be a hit. And then we got into a project that he's working on, Mega Shark versus Alien Iceberg.
Something like that.
And it was getting hilarious, right? But then Debbie Downer showed up in the form of Steve, the awkward host, because I had felt like we hadn't done enough on the how does a 3/4 Italian, 1/4 Sicilian, white Italian dude from Cleveland become socially aware enough to be able to depict the plight of the proud African-American black man of color of today, right?
Right.
So I brought it back to that. Still was unsuccessful getting there.
Yeah.
But then I was like, crap. We had such a nice flow. We went right into being funny.
Mm.
What a great place to get to. And then it would have been great to wrap up from there. So that was the only point where I thought I could have done a better job of controlling or maintaining or facilitating the flow of the interview. By the time we got to the end, we got back to the funny.
Yeah.
Which I thought was good. We talked about exciting dick.
Yes. For a while, we talked about exciting dick.
I couldn't stop laughing. When
you said that, I was like, here we go. And he's like, he bought right into it. He just went with it.
Oh, yeah. So my take on Tony Isabella, you've known him for years.
Yep.
When you first told me you knew him, I always assumed that I'm at least 4 or 5 degrees separated from greatness at any given moment. I didn't realize I was only, well, first of all, I think you're great.
Oh, I think you're great too.
Yeah, but the rest of the world doesn't know about you yet. But I didn't realize.
That's sobering. Yeah. Thanks.
But you've been talking about Tony Isabella for years.
Yeah.
And then Black Lightning comes out, and you're like, oh, yeah, that's my buddy Tony did that. And I'm like, what?
That's the hook I try, because I knew you weren't going to watch it unless I figure out how to make a hook, because it can't be just the fact that the character's black. There has to be more. I'm like, oh, yeah, well, I know the guy that created him. Yeah. Thinking, I'd already got you through Watchmen. And, you know, even though I'm not trying to turn you into a comic book guy, I'm trying to show you comic books.
How much of the last 20 years of your life has been trying to get me to do so? I mean, everything in your life, your total motivation.
Well, let's see. We've known each other since, what, 81? Since then.
But here's the thing about Tony is it turns out he knows a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And as we were going through his career, like, he just casually threw out there, oh, yeah, then I got a job at Marvel helping Stan Lee put together these stories, these British, whatever thing, stories he's talking about. I was like, I wanted to interrupt him right there. But then I thought, well, that's, I don't know. When you're talking to a successful comic creator, one who's successful in his own right, what you really don't want to do is stop them when they talk about another guy.
Right.
It'd be like if you're talking to, you're talking to Liam Neeson and you go, oh my God, you worked with Nick Cage? Tell me about that.
Tell me about Nicolas Cage. Yeah. Although I would not compare Nicolas Cage with Stan Lee. Right, now, right. Here's the thing to think about. You are now officially, one off from Stan Lee.
Oh, that's true.
And if the billions and billions of dollars that these movies make, you are one off. Just let that sink in for a minute.
I'll take one day's interest.
I'll take an hour's interest.
But no, it was
for an hour.
It was interesting to hear him talk about working with Stan Lee. I think Stan, nobody would know. I knew who Stan Lee was because, believe it or not, I have listened to you over the years. When you tell your stories about stuff and who your heroes are and things. I mean, I knew. And then when Stan Lee started showing up in these movies and his cameos, I was like, Oh my God, that's that guy. The guy, Stan Lee.
When a couple of years, well, when my son was probably 10 or 11 years old, he had to do a like a great American like author type report.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he wanted to do Stan Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes home and he's like, I told my teacher I wanted to do Stan Lee. She didn't know who he is. And oh. I told him, I said, she's about to.
Oh.
And I put it on Facebook, and my friend Greg Bogart started just barraging me with links to all these awards he's won and how important he is.
Yeah.
And his one teacher, I was talking to them all one day, and his teacher was like, I had no idea who he was. And one of the other teachers in her room, she's like, I know who he is. So yeah, he's kind of a big deal.
So that was just kind of a throwaway line for yeah. Tony. He's just like, oh yeah, I got this job helping Stan Lee. You know? And yeah. Then later on, wait, what was it he said?
Oh, oh, was it
obviously
Stan? Obviously.
So yes. he was talking about Stan, and I wanted to jump in, but I knew it would interrupt the flow of the show.
Yeah,
because he said something like, and then Stan obviously wanted to go that direction, and I was like, I wanted to say, wow, I never knew Stan Lee's middle name was obvious.
Now, is that in quotations? Well, you know.
Oh, man. But then he started, what was the guy's name? Richard something.
That did what?
That you needed to be able to impress.
Oh.
In order to be successful.
I don't remember which, I don't remember which dick it was.
That's a problem. If you can't remember which dick it is.
How many dicks is that?
A lot. He was talking about somebody named Dick something. And he's like, and then Dick got excited. And yeah, in this business.
One of the editors back in the day.
He was an editor at Marvel or DC or somewhere. And he's like, if you can get Dick excited, you're going to, you know, you're going to be successful. And I was like, so it's important to be able to.
Instantly, I'm mental cringe. So I'm Dick, like, here it goes.
To get Dick excited. He's like, yes. And I knew how to excite Dick. You know, the other thing he did is he used the word huge.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize Cleveland was East Coast enough for the word huge.
Well, I think that boils down. That's
MP, are you watching? Is Cleveland close enough to the East Coast for huge to be a thing? He may not be watching. I don't know.
He's anyway, probably not. He's probably in bed. You'll get 11 very, very hysterical messages tomorrow.
He's probably in bed with his wife.
Wouldn't you?
I know I would.
I was going to say, wouldn't you?
I should have waited for you to say that.
I'll fix it in post.
I'll let you go ahead and say, wouldn't you?
Wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, my wife's sitting right over there. I sleep with her every night.
Wouldn't you?
It's like the old Red Fox joke. Wouldn't I? Oh, man. So anyway, I'm pretty stoked. I don't use the word stoked often. I try to save it for times when I'm truly excited.
Mm-hmm. So I think you got a little bit of a fanboy thing going on.
I always do.
I really think you do.
I can't be in the presence of somebody who has had recognized widespread success without having a little fanboy thing going. I'm probably going to go as soon as my back pension comes in. And next payday, mm-hmm. Probably going to go out and buy I'm going to go buy some Black Lightning, maybe a trade, whatever the next word after trade is.
Paperback.
Well, you got a trade hardcover over there.
No, it's softback, but it's still paperback.
Okay. So I might go out and buy some old Black Lightnings so I can get caught up on my reading.
You should.
The other thing I might do, the other guy we saw over there, which I was pretty happy about, and I didn't realize it was who it was when you first, like when we first, the first table we walked up to was none other than the esteemed Jim McClain.
Hey, Jim.
So I've liked him from the moment that I started listening to the Comics Alternative with you guys. It's another podcast. If you guys are into comics, go check out the Comics Alternative.
Yeah.
Search it on whatever thing you get your podcast.
What is it? Two guys with degrees talking about comics. Two guys with PhDs talking about comics, I think, is their tagline.
And they must spend a shitload of time editing because it's not a continuous conversation. It's like...
They do it in sections.
Yeah, it's like 10 different segments. Yeah. Paul and Jim did a segment on creating a webcomic called Poe and the Mysteriads.
Mm-hmm.
Which is now finished and in print.
It will be in print. Well, it's you saw what do they call it, a galley copy. It'll be in print soon.
Who's on? Who's watching?
Nobody.
MP.
Hi, MP.
What's up?
Tell us about Cleveland. Is Cleveland East Coast enough to say huge?
And we're back with Steve Vinson and Paul Schultz on the Don't Panic Radio Show. Top of the hour.
My name is Chesterfield Station. I'm here with Alistair Powers. Hello, Alistair. How are you today?
Oh, I'm exemplary.
We had a fabulous conversation with the creator of the socially aware TV series and comic book Black Lightning earlier today. His name is Tony Isabella.
Oh. And I noticed if you say a lot, it sounds like
I felt as though I was in the presence of someone who is more woke than anyone I've met.
He's a woke ass N-word.
He's a woke ass N-word.
Oh my god.
Hey, Atticus, you want to come say hi?
That's the closest you'll get, ladies and gentlemen.
The boy went with us.
Yes.
The boy was there too.
It was his first and a half show.
Yeah.
The first time he was in the womb.
Did MP mention something about the word huge?
No.
Somebody else said something funny?
No, it's just us. Oh. My mom was probably accidentally watching.
Hi, Jean. I mean, Mrs. Schultz.
That's right.
Oh, God. All right. So back to the conversation at hand. So it was great to see Jim because two things happened almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I was like, it's Jim. I haven't met Jim in person.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to meet Jim in person. And I liked the Comics Alternative interviews.
Right.
And in fact, as much as I wanted to listen to the rest of the show, I would always just go, so that's the downside to good show notes, is I would just look in the show notes and see when you guys were going to be on. And I would just jump to that.
That's why I drop show notes for our show.
But the positive side of it is I got to hear you guys. And meeting Jim in person was great. And I knew about Solution Squad, which is a comic that... strives to teach math.
You remember when we were in elementary school and we would have like really bad, like they would bring in like teaching aids, like to be all hip and cool, but they were horrible and they weren't very, they were just very weak. They were thinly veiled lessons. What Jim has done with Solution Squad is you can read this story. It's very entertaining, and if you're not too careful, you just might learn something.
And he's a math teacher.
And he's a math teacher.
Currently, at a middle school.
Probably, he's like the cool Mr. Clark of the math teachers.
So, we recently got a letter from our school letting us know our fifth grader is among some students who are... you know, a little bit having trouble with some aspects of math, right? And, you know, they said, have them work with flashcards, games, different
flashcards.
Things. Flashcards. She gets stressed out with flashcards.
Flashcards, all flashcards do is they're like a negative reinforcement or whatever about how make you feel even more stupid. Because like, you don't know this. You don't know this. You don't know this. I hated him as a kid.
I never thought of that.
It's, we don't talk. Unless we're doing the show, we don't talk. We need to talk more.
Well, she told me the other day she got stressed out and I did all the wrong things. Like, oh, well, why? Well, if she knew why she was getting stressed out, she would do something about it and fix it, right?
Yeah.
She really doesn't know why. So her dad asking her why she gets stressed out is not a helpful thing. Another not helpful thing is, well, maybe just, you know, try it and do it and see how it goes. And it's like, well, that's probably not helpful either. It's like, so as a father, I'm like, as a father who, by the way, this isn't bragging, it's just a fact, just always got math.
you are the yin to my yang. Yeah, I never understood that. You got math like that, and I'm struggling with it.
And the reason it's not bragging is because I don't think that I did anything particularly different than you did with math. I think I just, for some reason, maybe some early childhood thing or genetics, something. But anyway, I knew I wasn't helping her.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe you love playing games. Maybe get on the iPhone, find some math games and different things. So, Constance, can you hand me that bag right there?
Yes.
Thank you. So we get to Jim's table, and I said, it just popped in my head. I was like, Constance, this is something I'll bet would be good for Simone.
I wish I would have known.
And then Jim looks at me. He's like, "What's up?" And I go, and like, not just "What's up?" Like an offhanded "What's up?" Like,
what's up?
Suddenly his entire focus was on me.
Oh, right? It's crazy watching him work.
He like lasered in on me. He's like, "What's up?" I said, "Well, we have a fifth grader who, you know, still she's having trouble with her math facts." And he goes, he just like puts a finger up. He's like, "Hold on, I got something." He's like,
digs around in his Mr. Whoopi's or Felix the Cat's bag like, of tricks.
And
12 ciders, ladies 12 and gentlemen. Ciders.
He's like, "Here's a bag of 12 ciders." He goes, "Here's what you do. You get these 12 ciders, and the game is, what I got to do is figure out how many to roll and all this stuff." But it's like, they roll 12 ciders, and you got a math facts table. You roll 12 ciders. A number will come up. They got to find that number on the math facts table and circle it. And then they roll again, find that number, and circle it. But what they got to do is it's like bingo. You got to complete like top to bottom or side to side or diagonal or whatever. So they've got to try to find the number they rolled and make it strategic so they can complete a line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, dude, that's brilliant.
It's so simply brilliant. It's aggravating.
And then he goes, "And I've got another game for you that will help with addition and subtraction and negative numbers." He goes, I'll send that to you later." In my head, I'm going, how's he going to send that to me? Before we got here tonight, he had messaged me a link to a thing at solutionsquad.com to that game. I feel like a whole new world's opened up, and our fifth grader, you know.
Years ago, when I found out your youngest was into superheroes, comics, yes, and I sent her the first trade paperback of Spider-Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking back on that now, before you leave today, I will give you the copy of the Solution Squad trade paperback that Jim gave me, because he gives me all kinds of stuff. Mm. I'll get another one. I think that will help her drastically and tremendously, because she'll read it, and by the time she's done, she won't realize she'll have learned something.
Yeah.
It's so well done.
I can't wait till she grows up and she's like, "You know why I'm into comics? Uncle Paul." I'll be like, "He's not actually your uncle. We're not actually brothers." So you're like, "Yeah, but you know, when you have a good friend."
Oh,
you know,
when
your
parents have a good friend. We're going to do that.
That's right.
Yeah, thank you. I wish I was as good a friend to you as you are to me. I just want to say that after so, 3 whiskeys.
So do I.
Maybe this year you'll get a Christmas present.
Look, man.
He got me a football. What's a football?
Earlier tonight, we were talking about something. I don't even, God knows what. But Paul said, back when we were kids, we all used to get each other Christmas presents. Well, except Steve. He never got us anything. And I was like, okay, I can't say that. I was going to say we didn't have any money, but neither did you guys. Like, none of us had any money.
Here's a log. I got your log off my wood pile.
We all had the same amount of money, which was zero.
Which was none, yes.
So I don't know where you guys got the money to get each other presents, Maybe sold, I should have asked.
We sold crack.
I should have been like, you guys are always getting each other presents. The hell are you getting that money? I did get you a present, although it was probably, it's probably a couple of years after high school. I got you a football.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it probably pissed you off because you were probably like, why did he give me a football? He knows I don't like sports.
30 years later.
You finally know now. I thought you knew then, but just didn't think it was that funny. Would you please explain to me why I got you a football?
Well,
could have got you a bowling ball too.
It's even funnier in my head because I recently listened to the Christmas episode about the leg lamp.
It's a leg.
But in Christmas Story, when Ralphie's asking for the BB gun, he freezes up and Santa Claus tells him, how about a nice football? And Ralphie's head's going, football? What's a football?
By the way, that was not the last time I fucked up a present. Want me to tell you another time? My first Valentine's Day with my then future bride.
I'm feeling a special kinship forming here.
So I grew up without much of an identity.
Mm-hmm.
I just really didn't have much of an identity. So I started forming one on my own. I was like,
you were almost as invisible as I was.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the Bob and Becky story?
About what? I've heard a lot of Bob and Becky
Street. I've
been involved in a lot of Bob and Becky
Street. Your neighbors from across the street.
Yes.
My mom used to go down there and they'd have coffee cake. And
Becky called me Pokey.
I can believe it.
Yeah.
having rousted you out the door to get on the school bus many times. I can get. Yeah. I'm sitting in my room and at the tender age of about 12 and I get a phone call. And it's my mom. And she's like, can you come down to Bob and Becky's? I'm like, oh, okay. The reason why she had me come down there was because they did not believe my mom had 7 children.
You were proof.
Yes.
Did they know about Harold Budd?
Everyone but me. Because I kept to myself, stayed in my room, played in the backyard.
There's a story that's famous in my family about you, and it is, I don't know who was telling my parents the story, but they said, yeah, I mean, we went out to eat, and we're sitting at the restaurant, and we said, we should ask Paul if he wanted to come.
Well, to me, one of the most special moments, we'll turn the lights down a little bit. One of the most special moments to me was with your mom. After, why are you stroking a zucchini? Oh, sorry. Not even a euphemism. No, when over the 4th of July a couple of years ago, when
she's like, oh, so this is Paul.
When we're all sitting in the tent after your mom, you've talked on the show about your mom's bout with cancer.
Yes,
and how she beat it.
Yep.
And I remember your brother told your mom, he's like, look, you got everything you wanted. You got what you wanted. Your whole family on 4th of July. And Paul.
I remember.
It's just like, and Paul. And I was like, oh, I felt so wanted.
I remember that.
That was a great time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
We've got Rosie, MP, Atticus, Tolan. They're all watching.
Mm.
Hi. We need an answer to the question of is Cleveland East Coast enough to say huge?
Atticus, you're too young to watch this show.
I said the word fuck earlier.
Fuck. You need to move in.
You need to move in a little bit, Steve.
All right, here we go. All right, you ready? Hey, hang on.
All right. Move the table. All right.
Because this is how
this
pros do.
This is analog right here.
This is
here.
What pros do.
That's
all else fails, analog.
You don't move the camera, you move the table.
That's right.
That's right.
Pootie don't move the camera.
Pootie moves the table.
That's right. The world moves around Pootie. So What were we talking about?
Your love for MP. Or no, wait, we were backing up. We were
how cute we were being so quiet.
It makes me sick how generous he is.
Yeah.
Who?
MP Cavalier. I mean, there's nothing he wouldn't do for you.
He's like meatloaf.
It makes me feel guilty.
He would do anything for love.
I feel shame. I have a lot of shame. I have more shame than I should for being not Jewish or Catholic.
You really need therapy.
I do. But see, the reason I don't do therapy is because I have a lot of reasons for not doing therapy.
But one, all of which validate why you should be doing therapy. But yeah, that's right. Yeah, point.
Sure, you're right. Sure, you're right. There's nothing a therapist could tell me that I can't look up on Google. That's, I mean, what can a therapist tell me that I can't look up on Google, for example? It's hard to say Google after three whiskeys. Maybe after a fourth, it'll be easier. You tell me what I should be. Oh, you knew. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Forest girl, it ran one step ahead as we followed in the dance. Between the parted pages and we're pressed in love's hot fevered iron like a striped pair of pants. The spark is melting in the dark, all the sweet green icing flowing down.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message. I love you. Now, back to our show.
I'm going to meta for a couple of seconds. First of all, in case you couldn't tell, we're pretty excited about our interview with Tony. So... Paul's going to get that edited up, and we're going to get it posted, and it's great. By the way, Tony has been interviewed no fewer than 152,000 times over the past couple years. And what's great about it is, you know, he's had a very successful career, but hasn't been as recognizable or in demand, let's say, as he has been in the last couple of years. So it's really awesome not only to get to talk to him, but also to experience his excitement that after a long career that he's proud of, that he's like getting recognition on a very popular level. And then also, since I'm not a professional interviewer, you know, I had some questions in mind to help keep the thing flowing, but... He is so used to being interviewed, he already knew what he was going to say. So all I had to kind of do is, it was mine to lose. That's what I'm trying to say. It was my interview to lose.
Yeah.
The only thing I could have done was piss him off or like get him so distracted.
That's why I gave you pointers ahead of time. Yeah. I prepped you for
Paul
it.
Paul let me know ahead of time. So I was like, all I got to do is kind of give him the like, okay, go. Mm-hmm. And then he had plenty to say. And it's pretty awesome. So definitely, I don't know if this is going to come out first or that, we'll figure that out. But, if you haven't already heard it, it's pretty cool. Constance said it was great to be there live. Atticus would say it was great to be there live. And if he did, I probably wouldn't hear it because he talks really quietly. But in the meantime, go check that out. The other meta thing is, We're and I'm saying this now because we have a lot of people on the live feed, or at least I think we do, if we haven't lost them by now. But we're going to try some things in the next few weeks to the next few months to make our show, I want to say, a little more digestible, a little more consumable for people. And we'll announce that later. I don't have my thoughts squared away enough to tell you exactly what we're doing. But I think what you'll find is it'll be easier to share, easier to consume, easier to be something that you're proud to share with your friends on a micro level. And the back end of that, I said back end, is we're going to, the way that we're going to set it up, it's going to allow us to actually see what people like.
Yeah.
On a level that's beyond a survey. So I put surveys on hashtag the page.
Mm-hmm.
And surveys are famous for being not great for finding out what people
they're
really
not
think.
Exactly accurate.
Right.
They're just whatever you want to click on to mess around with people.
Exactly. But Paul and I have come up with an idea of something we can do with the show that will show, with the show that will demonstrate how people actually feel about the different segments. So I'm pretty excited about it.
As am I.
I'm not as excited about it as I am about the interview we did with Tony or the Halloween special, but pretty excited. Yeah. It's probably fourth. First is the interview with Tony. Second is the Halloween special. Halloween special will probably be first, but I haven't heard it yet. Third is the segment thing that we're doing. Fourth is the fact that we're about to do Will It Beer. All right, so set this up. How does Will It Beer work?
Well, I took a cue from Rhett and Link with their Will It Taco.
You don't know Rhett and Link? Just search Rhett and Link or
Good Mythical Morning.
Yes.
They do this thing called Will It Taco.
Will It fill in the blank.
Will It whatever.
Will It Pillow?
Yes.
Will It Hummus?
It's quite literally Will It fill in the blank, fill in the blank, fill in the blank.
Elizabeth had this idea, Will It Chair. And then at some point they finally did Will It Chair. She had the idea, and then like 6 months later they did Will It Chair. She was so excited.
The other thing that got me thinking about this is I watched a video the other day on, okay, you know how they do these videos where it's like Asian people try Panda Express for the first time.
Yes.
Well, I was watching this one where Americans tried Mexican McDonald's for the first time. All it reinforced for me was that, of course, we get the we invented McDonald's, but we get the lamest McDonald's there is. They were showing the hamburgers and stuff they eat down there, and in lieu of like an apple pie, they had this really cool like goat cheese pie and all this really good stuff, and I'm like, I mean, I was mouthwatering by the end. I'm trying to figure out how to go to Mexico and be able to come back. And then I thought, who do I know in Mexico? I don't, nobody. So it kind of came from the road trip to Mexico. That's gonna end well. So that's when I hatched the idea of Will It Beer / two guys who know what beer is supposed to taste like are going to try this particular beer.
Well, not just that particular beer.
Yes, that's this particular beer and this particular of bourbon. neither one of us, and cornbread supplied by our latest entourage member. Not only are we not fans of this particular beer, but we are not fans, at least since we were teenagers, of this particular bourbon. I see you have the good one, the good beer lined up to wash down.
No.
Okay.
So.
You already ate some.
It's good. It will cornbread.
It will a cornbread? It will cornbread. It will
cornbread. So, I know that you had in your mind a way this was going to work.
And the bus just veered off the shoulder.
So what we have here is we have, we might need a couple plates. Can somebody get us a couple plates and maybe a couple napkins?
Boy, grab some plates and napkins.
Because what I've been doing while Paul has been setting this up is I've been...
Pointlessly, apparently.
No. You set it up pretty well. You just missed a few things. I'll fix it in post. Here's what we're going to do. We know Budweiser won't beer.
Yeah. It will not beer.
So there's no reason to try the Budweiser by itself, right?
Hashtag Rachel, I hope you're listening.
Yeah. But if you put Budweiser in a barrel that formerly had Jim Beam in it for a prescribed amount of time, and then you put said Budweiser in a can, will it beer?
Let's find out.
Let's find out. I'm assuming this is a twist off.
I hope so. If not, we're gonna look really emasculate.
This says Budweiser. This says Budweiser Copper Lager, Jim Beam, aged on real barrel, Jim Beam barrel staves. All right. Huh. So. Hope everybody heard that.
I'm going straight from the bottle. I'm not even gonna dirty the glass.
Well, I love the sound.
No, we're not. The glass is for a late, a different.
Oh, okay. Scene. All right.
So I'm smelling it. So I've had Kentucky bourbon barrel aged Kentucky bourbon ale, right? Which is Kentucky ale aged in bourbon casks.
My first impression,
I'm not getting that smell.
My first impression from the smell is it smells like Budweiser.
Smells like Budweiser. All right, let's give it a little taste.
Same emergency room. It does not taste like Budweiser.
It doesn't taste like Budweiser.
It tastes like almost Miller Lite-y kind of. It's got that kind of slightly burned taste to it.
I don't taste any bourbon.
No, I can fix that.
Constance, can you come? Because you've had Kentucky bourbon barrel.
Yeah. Weirdly, I know the bottle is sort of shaped like Red Stripe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or it the way all beer bottles were shaped when we were kids.
Yeah.
Smells like Red Stripe. A slightly sweet.
Yeah.
You might be smelling the glass bottle. Right. She's taking a sip. She's doing that thing with your lips where you go.
I agree. Doesn't taste like Budweiser, but I'm not tasting the bourbon ale. Like the bourbon ale is has depth to it. This doesn't have depth.
The first time I had the bourbon ale, I smelled and sensed bourbon.
That reminds me of a story. After I got so completely drunk on Jack Daniels one night, I was at my parents' house and I was helping. My mom had a big old barrel that she was using for a flower pot, and it used to be a whiskey barrel.
Okay. Smelled like bourbon.
I leaned over.
Puked in it.
And almost. It was so bad.
All right. So what's the verdict?
It will not beer.
It will not beer.
But it does not taste like Budweiser. Right. So I will finish this bottle.
So it will not beer.
You'll
finish it later because.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Put that right there. Will not beer.
Nope.
All right. So here's the next thing. So a few months ago, as is known by longtime listeners, I went out to the East Coast, Baltimore, Alexandria, Washington, D.C. area for a friend's funeral. And it was truly a celebration of life because we stayed with some friends who live out there who didn't know the guy. They didn't know Mark. But we know them very well, and they know us, so they knew this was an important trip for us. And they talk about shame. They put me to shame when it comes to hosting people because they hosted us. They did a great job hosting us. They don't drink beer, but they had beer because they know I drink beer, right? I mean, who does that, right? It's like, what? It's like, what? I don't care if you like beer. I don't drink beer. No, anyway, so they had beer. But what they had was a beer I had not seen before. And I said, what is this? And they go, well, we shop at Aldi a lot. And this is an Aldi brand, which instead of brand, they use the word flavor.
Yeah.
So this is Aldi flavor beer. And I was like, the last time I shopped at Aldi.
It said beer.
It said beer. And I wouldn't buy something like beer at Aldi. Right. So I tried it and You haven't tried it yet.
Not this one. No, but I have drank several Aldi beers.
One of the most popular beers in the United States right now is American Pale Ale.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a generic version marketed and sold by Aldi. So the question is, generic Aldi brand craft beer. Generic Aldi brand craft beer. Will it beer?
All I need as a frame of reference is, like, how much does a six pack cost?
To get a six pack of American craft beer,
mm-hmm.
like local, up here, I think there's a couple of Michigan ones,
mm-hmm.
Northern Indiana ones. Down there, it's Sun King or Flat 12, is at least $11, $12.
Did you see the Sun King at Aldi?
No. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they carry that cream corn ale or whatever it is.
So Aldi, generic.
It already smells better.
American Pale Ale, will it beer? This is unfair because I've already tried it. I already know whether it will beer. So I need your answer, before. So
go dump this in the toilet.
So I'll tell you what. I didn't know about American Pale. Here's a funny story,
mm-hmm.
that's not directly related, but I didn't know about American Pale until I had, Sun King is a huge, apparently, if you're from Ohio, Central Indiana craft brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And they came out with three initial beers. One was a throwback cream ale. One was a Scottish ale. What do you say, Scotch? I don't know when to say Scottish and when to say Scotch.
Well, I think Scotch is what you drink. Scottish is anything.
If you're drinking it.
From like haggis to kilts to.
If you're drinking it or if you're wrapping a present with it, it's Scotch.
But what about Scotch eggs?
Or bacon eggs. You're eating it. Anyway.
What about Scotch eggs?
The third one that they had is called Osiris, and they called it an American Pale.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I don't know what that is, but I'll try it. And I tried it. And it's like an IPA, if an IPA weren't so pretentious.
Mm.
It's like an unpretentious IPA, right?
And so hipsters don't like the...
It's like if you like beef jerky...
Mm-hmm.
Beef jerky has a good amount of pepper, right?
Yeah,
but if you get peppered beef jerky, it's got way too much pepper.
You gotta roll the window down.
yeah right, so
don't rub your eyeball.
IPA is like peppered beef jerky,
mm-hmm.
whereas Osiris American Pale is like regular beef jerky. But I'd never known there was something called an American Pale. Fast forward a few weeks, months, or whatever. And
it's all a blur.
I'm at a bar, and they have Fall City on tap.
Uh-huh.
And I've told this story before. I'm not going to tell it again, but I have a nostalgic connection with Fall City that has to do with the first few years of my career as a chemical engineer and an old dude who retired,
mm-hmm.
who loved Fall City, which I thought at the time, pre-craft beer, pre my knowledge of American Pale, I thought was just some shitty beer that tasted like coffee. And I'm sitting at this bar a couple of years ago. They have Fall City on tap. I'm like, give me a Fall City. And I drink it. And I'm like, holy shit. This is an American Pale Ale.
Mm.
So that's full disclosure. I like American Pale Ales.
I do too, after a point.
Yeah. This Aldi brand called Folded Mountain Pale Ale is an American Pale. And
it beers.
It beers.
I'll tell you what I know about IPAs.
All right.
I was talking to Michael from Sweden, and he was talking about this beer that he kept calling it an IPA.
IPA.
I love that.
And then somewhere down the line, I just used the term IPA, and he's like, oh, that's how you say it? So hopefully I helped Sweden become woke to IPAs.
Constance will vote. Will it beer?
Does it beer?
Ooh, that's good.
It almost IPAs, seriously, because some of your that's IPAs really can be, yeah, some of your IPAs can be kind of harsh.
That's fresh.
Yeah.
This is very fruity, very.
Yeah, crisp,
yep.
Clean.
Yet another reason to go to Aldi.
Yeah.
Well, one of the great things about Aldi is if you have kids, it's like this thing they instituted to help them keep costs down, but it ends up being a thing that attracts people, is the whole put a quarter in the cart thing. Like, kids love that. You gotta have your quarter. Gotta get a quarter. Who's got the quarter? Who wants to do the quarter? Who wants to go get the quarter back? Then you got the whole etiquette of if somebody's bringing their cart back at the same time that you're needing to get a cart, they're like, here, take my cart. You go, oh, well, here's my quarter. Well, I don't need your quarter, but I have the quarter. What do we do about the quarter? It's a whole cultural thing. I don't know if Aldi thought of that before they instituted the quarter thing. It's brilliant.
I'll tell you a funny story about the quarter.
Tell me a funny story about the quarter.
I used to work at a restaurant right down the road.
Really?
Yeah, believe it or not. Oh. I've talked about it.
Steakhouse?
If you want to call
steak
it that.
Shack.
Steak Shack.
Steak Lean-To.
It's like Steak Shack, Shake Shack. They're kind of the same.
Steak Survival Shelter.
Yes. Where steaks go to die. And I would walk home, and one night in the middle of like one of the worst snowstorms we ever had up here during my tenure at that place of 11 years, I'm walking through their parking lot, you know, cutting my corners, walking through the parking lot. And there's like a dozen carts in the parking lot, frozen in the parking lot. Because people would run in, buy their bread and milk, because we live in Walnut Grove. And they'd leave the cart and hurry home.
So and they can make their French toast.
Right. And right, exactly. So I stood there in the middle of the parking lot, and I'm like, well, only a fool is going to pass this up. So I dragged all these carts up to the front and got quarter
got all the
after
quarters.
Quarter after quarter. I ended up with like $3 worth of quarters for like 10 minutes worth of work.
It's a bunch of pool games.
That's right.
And that, kids, is how you get rich.
That's right.
All right.
You so, seize the opportunity. So but the thing is about the quarter, adding to your quarters thing. There's this thing where like, when you're at Aldi's, you do your shopping, and you're pushing the cart back, and you're like, oh, there's like a little old lady or a mom with like 8 kids, or like a disabled guy, and they you want my cart, and they're like, okay, and they like go to hand forward that quarter, and you're like, no, keep it, and they're like, are you sure? It's like, it's a quarter. Wow, it's not gonna be the end of the world.
Here's how you end that conversation. Because I've had that moment more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very awkward moment, right? Take the quarter, don't take the quarter. Here's what you do. You go, keep the quarter, give it to the next person.
That's what I tell them. Pay it forward. give it to the next person. Right. You figure if there's a little kid with them, they're going to be like, they're going to hook the cart up and they're going to take the quarter.
So Folded Mountains, Aldi Flavor, Pale Ale, Will Beer.
Budweiser, Jim Beam, no.
So here's the tiebreaker.
I'm hoping it breaks the barnacles off of the stuff in my toilet.
Here's the tiebreaker.
Hmm.
Right. So Paul's, our new friend, Tammy, came over tonight and she made cornbread. And it's the kind of cornbread that doesn't look like the cornbread I had when I was a kid.
Why is mine eating off of?
The cornbread when I had...
I'm not going to eat off of mine.
The cornbread I had when I was a kid, just so you guys can see this, I want you to see.
It looks like a face. Turn it around. There's a face there.
There is.
It has little bits of things in it, and it's super yellow. When I was a kid, the cornbread I had was... It didn't have bits of anything.
Mm-hmm.
The outside was kind of that color.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't yellow on the inside. It was mostly white.
Well, with your mom, was it Southern style cornbread?
There was no sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Southern style?
So let me comment here, if I can. The recipe calls for white cornmeal, which is probably what your mom used.
White cornmeal.
I happen to have yellow on hand, so it is okay. Yellow cornmeal, and it has cheddar in it, which makes it a little more yellow.
Yeah.
And jalapenos and bacon.
So cheddar, jalapeno, bacon, cornbread.
Cooked in an iron skillet.
Mm. Let's just say it's a good thing my dad didn't meet you before he met my mom.
That would have been very weird.
So we're going to find out if the Budweiser Copper Lager aged on real Jim Beam barrel staves.
Wait, on them?
Well,
they just set it on top, them? Not in.
It says on. It's an O.
Oh, so we're gonna find out.
Will the cornbread help it beer?
So we dip
it. Get a good soak.
Right.
You don't just like swirl it around. You just like get a good soak. The plates are there because it's gonna drip a little bit. So you want to? We don't want to mess up your plates. I don't know what's going on with that.
Hey, how is that even a thing?
All right. Ready? All right. So did we get some napkins? Do we need napkins?
No. Well, we good.
All right, so dip it in there, and let's give it a good... I think the beer made, for me, I don't know how you feel, I think the beer made the cornbread worse.
And the cornbread was good to start
out with. The cornbread was
good.
I had a couple bites before I dipped it in the beer, and it was good. And the beer, I think, took away from the cornbread. So if we were doing Willet cornbread, I'd say no. The beer will not make the cornbread cornbread. And I certainly think that the cornbread does not make the beer beer.
Mm-mm. No, I'm not.
I'm not going to do that again.
I have to apologize to the cornbread. I'm sorry, cornbread.
So, cornbread dipped in beer, will it beer? No.
No.
It will not beer. That could be another segment that we do, a will it segment stolen from Rhett and Link. I don't mind stealing shit from people. As long as they won't sue us. I don't think Rhett and Link would sue us.
I don't even think we're on their radar.
All right, what else we got?
I think we're out of things.
All right, I think that's enough, actually.
Yeah.
So, we had a good interview with Tony.
Yep.
We're going to do more interviews. We have a lot of exciting ways of...
Big changes.
Things.
Yeah, big changes coming.
Stuff and things. So, for Constance and for Tammy... And for Paul, I'm Steve. This has been the Don't Panic Radio Show. And nothing you just heard. You just heard.
That's true.
That's true.
That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds. We'll be right back.
think you know people and then you don't. Then you wonder, have I met them before? But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.
Oh, bullshit.